This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The March to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have that dump button ready, because I honestly have no idea what's going to come out of my mouth.
Get ready for takeoff.
There's no way that I'm tapping out now.
You're listening to Unkillable.
If you didn't kill us last night, we are unkillable.
Hosted by Brandon Tierney.
All right, well, this is the big one. What's happening, everybody? Episode number 25 of Unkillable. So, Aaron Rodgers will not be on the Jets next year. Now, obviously, every time we've done a pod, anytime this has come up, really, since the middle of the season, when there was a thought that Rodgers might not be back, should he be back, whatever, you guys know where I stood. My position was always always very simple. I wanted Aaron Rodgers back because I thought he was absolutely the best option, which I still believe. However, I always left that little caveat. I want Aaron Glenn and Muji. I want them to decide. And if they decided, and it was truly their football convictions, their belief that they wanted to move forward, get this thing going without Aaron Rodgers, then I would obviously accept that. But I would also, depending upon how it was framed, I might laud the decision. Now, even though I'm pro Rodgers, here's what I need to know. And there's still a lot of unknowns. The Jets haven't commented. Rodgers hasn't commented. Great job by Jay Glazer, who crushes this stuff and has been for years. So you know he's obviously 100% right with the nugget on Super Bowl Sunday that Rodgers is no longer going to be with the Jets. Now, I need to know how Glenn and Muji came to this determination. You got to understand, guys, there's a lot of deductions here. I'm deducing quite a bit because we don't know everything. Once Rodgers speaks, once the Jets speak, then we'll have more clarity. And if I have to change my position, I certainly will. The fact that Aaron Rodgers flew to New Jersey to meet with the Jets tells me that Aaron Rodgers still wants to play football. And specifically, Aaron Rodgers still wanted to play football for the New York Jets. Now, my issue would only come if Aaron Glenn and Muji entered that meeting and they were not open-minded to an Aaron Rodgers return, meaning they had already made up their mind without gauging his adaptability or his level of commitment to what they wanted to do. I need to know the answer. Like, if it went something like this, because the money was going to be fine. The Jets and Aaron Rodgers were going to find common ground on the money because Aaron Rodgers has already taken pay cuts, and Aaron Rodgers is already on the record that he would take more pay cuts and also that he was willing to work with a young quarterback. So the two things, there's really three things. Would Aaron's presence usurp the power of the new regime? I never really thought so. Some did. Okay. Would they be able to make it work with the money? I just told you that I think that they would have been able to, because Rodgers obviously amenable to more of a reduced rate. And then the third thing, maybe a bit of a lower scale, would Rodgers be okay and proactive with helping a young quarterback along? And he said that straight up, and I believe him. I don't think he's bullshitting. All right, so Let's take two roads here. Road number one, Aaron Glenn and Muji present their vision for Rodgers. They establish early, hey, we'll find common ground on the money. Let's talk philosophy. And through the communication of their vision, very clearly told Aaron Rodgers, hey, last regime, it was different. You know, whether it was the OTAs or the trip, with the trip to Egypt or maybe going on the McAfee show. We're interested in you coming back to play football, be our quarterback in 2025, but we need X, Y, and Z to change. If that was presented to Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers gave any signs of not being open to those changes, meaning he'd have to make some adjustments, then the Jets absolutely made the right decision. That is untenable. It is not worth it. He's not good enough anymore. He's not young enough anymore. You don't move mountains to acquiesce to a 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers. You don't do it. So if that's the case, I absolutely give the Jets a ton of credit for having structure, for acting swiftly and in a timely manner. Now, let me give you the alternate universe. And by the way, I believe that that's probably what happened. That's my gut right now. I don't think we'll hear counter to that. If we hear that Rodgers was willing to acquiesce, and again, the money was going to add up, groom a young quarterback, if it came to that, if they drafted somebody at some point, everybody was on board with that. And Aaron was okay with the changes in philosophy, and the Jets still moved on from him. Well, then I think the Jets fucked up. Honestly, then I think the Jets messed up, because that would have been unnecessary. You see, there's two things about Aaron Rodgers that I think a lot of people are missing. Number one, his character. And you can tell by Quinnen Williams's deleted tweet, and I'll get into that more with what Q said and what I think that means big picture. That's one aspect of it. But the other aspect, and I said this earlier today on WFAM with Sal, and nobody really talks about this. Yes, we talk about the two seasons that Aaron Rodgers put on film. You know, the first six, seven games that were very unimpressive, you know, a Patriots game aside, just didn't seem to have the pop, didn't have the willingness to run, didn't trust his body. The stats weren't really there. And then you look at the final, whatever it was, I don't know, in 9-10 games where 18 touchdowns and four picks, and granted, he wasn't throwing it downfield and he wasn't quite Aaron Rodgers, but he was certainly better than anything the Jets have had ever. I mean, close to ever. And in my opinion, strongly, much better than anything that they could possibly get for next season. And I'll also get to next season in a minute. But what I think a lot of people are missing, there's a real reason for those two different types of seasons. Aaron Rodgers was not able to train last offseason. Aaron Rodgers was tasked with the very, very undesirable job of just getting his body back to functionality, to a functional level to be able to play. He wasn't training. He wasn't working on his game. He wasn't out there doing things that I think he's done in previous offseasons. Everything that he did, and has done up until this point, was to merely get his body back to a basic functional level. And I think, you know, once he was able to trust his body, once he figured out that thing was not going to roll up on him again, he was a little more willing to run. He showed more of an elusive nature. Granted, not quite the same Aaron Rodgers. I'm not saying that he was. He was not. It was a diminished Rodgers, but it was still an effective, good Aaron Rodgers. Now, the notion that he's not a good teammate, it doesn't matter anymore, because he's not here. But just look at the reaction. I told you the story last pod with Jermaine Johnson, how Aaron said, hey, take my jet, do what you got to do, worry about your family, don't even worry about paying, take care of it. I know you're a young kid, you got a lot on your plate, it's a tough injury, go handle business, I can help you with my plane, take it. Don't even worry about paying me back. I mean, that's just a great gesture. But then you see guys like Quinnen Williams yesterday popping off a little bit, how unsatisfied he was at the move. Now, listen, that speaks to something that I've said for a long time that many of you don't want to hear for different reasons, that Aaron Rodgers was a much better teammate than you and many others positioned him to have been. It doesn't matter because he's gone. We don't need to keep going to this well every time we talk about the Jets here. But I'll tell you one thing that's got to change, and I would not be surprised if – now, I don't know if he deleted that just because of the comments. I don't know if he deleted that because Aaron Glenn texted him and called him up either or and said, hey, listen, big boy, nonsense. That shit's over. Done. That may have been okay with the old regime, not happening with me. And one of the big issues with the Jets has been too many players feeling as if they've got the latitude to express, you know, their feelings on personnel moves, whether it was Mike White taking over for Zach, whether it's Quinnen Williams, you know, and again, in a sense, deleted tweet saying, and his tweet was, well, I guess I'm going back. I guess it's another rebuild for me, you know? So basically what he said was, and I know his intention was to stand up for Aaron Rodgers, which I have no problem doing. Matter of fact, I respect that. But what you're really doing is you're undermining the authority of the new regime. Oh, I guess here we go. Another rebuild. Yeah. Well, if that's what they're going to decide, tough shit. That's what's going to happen. And this nonsense must end. And I would be stunned, quite frankly, if Aaron Glenn did not communicate that very clearly immediately after that tweet was made, because I don't know if Aaron's even on social media, but I'm sure that was brought to his attention very early. And I guarantee man to man reached out, you know, not in a demeaning way, but just like, whoa, no, not anymore. So there's a lot here. And, you know, I could give you my opinion based on what may have happened. But until I know what happened in that meeting in New Jersey last week that Jay Glazer reported on, I can't give you the definitive scoreboard. I can only give you my two takes. And just, you know, briefly again, in summation, if the Jets went in open-minded and Aaron Rodgers said the wrong thing, you must cut bait. As much as I want to see Rodgers back, not at the expense of the building, not at the expense of the power of Glenn and Muji. So if that's the case, I salute you. I applaud you. I laud you. Well done. No dribs and drabs and, well, you know, we're going to let Aaron this and the bullshit. We're getting an answer and we're going to find out what the answer is. Now, I don't love the answer today because I don't know all of it. And now the other stuff. So I'm just going to put these grandma. I still haven't gotten these glasses fixed. All right. So some of the numbers, some of the math. All right. So Aaron Rodgers, because you got to look at cap hits. This obviously matters. So there's a $49 million cap hit in dead money that they have the option of either you could designate him June 1. And if you do that, then you save a little bit of money or you could take the entire cap hit this year. Now, if they did that, they would take it on the chin in 1 year and it would be very hard to do because it would obviously impact what they could do for the rest of the roster. But I'm of the mindset, hey, just get rid of it, absorb it as much as you can early and just get this thing moving in the right direction. You don't want this to haunt you for multiple years when it's not a decision that they didn't give him the contract. They didn't trade for Aaron Rodgers. So they probably want to get done of the money as much as they want to move on from Rodgers himself. Now, if they do roll it into 2026, which I'm not a believer in, then the cap hit is $35 million, which I don't like. I don't want $35 million hanging over the Jets' head in 2026. Don't want it. And I don't think you need it, all right? Because you have Tyrod Taylor on the roster. He's making peanuts. And, you know, we'll probably start with him as the starter. I'll give you a few other options in a moment at the quarterback spot. But, you know, the one thing, well, not to say the one thing, one of the things that's appealing about Muji is that he dealt with this situation with Russell Wilson, who I believe the dead cap hit was like $59 million, just beyond untenable. And it really wasn't, though. I was perceptually untenable. It wasn't because they got rid of him. They took the hit. And oh, yeah, by the way, they were rewarded with a playoff season and entrusting the team to Bo Nix, who rewarded them. So Muji is not afraid of this, which is good. This is a massive, massive decision. Do you spread it out? Do you take it on the chin right now? You know where I stand. So that's encouraging that Muji is not afraid of this, that it's not a completely foreign feeling. He knows what he's got to do. He's prepared to deal with this. Now, the next question would be this. If it's going to be a Tyrod Taylor situation and the Jets are, at least with Rodgers, trying to reset the finances, right? Eventually, not right away, because there's the penalty for Rodgers. Then you have to wonder, what's their next thought process? Are they willing to give Sauce Gardner $100 million? I don't know. Are they going to make him the highest paid quarterback in the game? I believe that there's reasons to do it and there's reasons not to do it. And this one's all Aaron Glenn. He can look at the film from year one and two. He can look at the lack of tackles this year. He can look at the lack of disruptive plays, interceptions. He can do that, and he will know right away, I want this guy or I don't, all right? And I don't know if anybody is more prepared to come up with that answer than Aaron Glenn, who is an awesome cornerback himself. So I think I've got faith that that's going to be worked out favorably. I want to keep Garrett Wilson, and I think they do too. I don't know if part of the motivation to move on from Rodgers is partially intertwined with Garrett Wilson. I don't know. I don't know if Garrett Wilson's camp communicated something directly to the new regime. I don't know. Now, you don't make decisions based solely on that, but you've got to take everything into account. Rodgers is 40. Garrett's in his mid-20s. He's an ascending star. All right, he's already a star. Maybe he's a superstar. I think he's probably a tick below that, as I've said, but he's going to have to get paid. Breece Hall, lesser extent as a running back, going to have to get paid. What do you do with Vera Tucker? I mean, do you cut C.J. Mosley? There's so much at stake here. And now you just know that Devontae Adams is gone. So that's $30 million. All right. So rather than rework Devontae's contract and maybe, honestly, I'm sure on some level, the decision to move on from Rodgers is somewhat loosely tied in to Rodgers' desire to continue to have Devontae Adams there. But if you were going to keep, because you just couldn't have him at the number that he's at, you'd have to rework it. And now you're just kicking the shit down the road for more years, which, again, pragmatically, that's not the right move at this time for this team that has so much to fix. All right. Now, what do they do at the quarterback spot next year? A couple different things they could do. As I said before, well, Tyrod's under contract. And I mean, listen, do I love the idea of going into the season with Tyrod Taylor as the unquestioned starter? No. But, you know, if they were to deem somebody, which right now I would not, but I'm not a GM. And, you know, the talent evaluation is subjective. They might love some of these kids. And I don't mean Ward and Shador. I mean some of the other ones, right? So maybe they take a quarterback at 7. If that's the case, then I love the situation of and it's somebody that they love, I'm going to trust them. It's their first big move. If they swing that way, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt until proven wrong. All right. And if that's the case, it's, you know, player X at number 7 and then Tyrod Taylor, which is a good way to enter any, you know, relationship, any new union with a young quarterback. You've got Tyrod who's the pro's pro. He's functional. You know, he's fine. You rely more on the running game, maybe get another old lineman, defense tighter, stop the run. You play a different style like Tennessee did years ago with Tannehill. Maybe you win some games that way. The other thing you could do is you can trade out of number 7 and just get a boatload of draft equity, kind of recover some with the Rodgers trade, with the Adams trade. Maybe you go from, I'm just throwing this out, 7 to 13 or 7 to 17 or 7 to 13, and then you strike another trade and you go from 13 to 19 and you get a defensive lineman who could just shore up the run or another corner and you let Sauce go. Like, there's a lot of options here. There really are. And I'm so curious to see how they play this. But while I'm still not confounded because I just laid out what happened, I'm not confused. I'm a little irritated by the decision to let Rodgers go, but I'm impressed by the swiftness of it. No bullshit, you know, no dribbing and drabbing out, no going on the McAfee show. I mean, he might go on tomorrow, but no having this play out publicly. The Jets are running the show. It's not Rodgers. They made their decision. Rodgers is now gone. And now I've given you multiple options. You know, the other thing that you could do, you can have, obviously Tyrod's on the team. You're not giving Sam Darnold big money because you don't have the money. Because you're taking a hit for Rodgers. So it's not going to be Darnold. Fields, I think the Steelers will try to retain, forget about Russell Wilson. If the Steelers decide to keep Russell, which why would they? Then, okay, I'm okay with Fields. And that's the one name, and I've always been consistent with this, Fields, if they move on from Rodgers, maybe Fields is a stopgap. Maybe Daniel Jones is a stopgap. I don't know what kind of money he would command. I don't know if Minnesota is going to let him go. I don't know. I really, there's a lot of things that none of us know. I just know, or at least I feel, that there's finally adults running the show. There's finally big boys running the show. I would almost guarantee that after, you know, Q tweeted that and then deleted it, I don't think, and if we do, then I'm going to be disappointed. I don't think you'll get others really weighing in like, what are we doing? More of a rebuild. Why'd they let Rodgers go? I think the message was sent. And I think that Quinnen Williams was the case study for that. That's like the social experiment. He put a tweet out there, immediately deleted it, move on. We know it's not really deleted, but the symbolism of him deleting it tells me that that's a good thing, that there's structure, that there's purpose, and that there's adults running the show. So that's how I see it. You know, what would have driven me nuts, and I told you last week that I thought that we would have a decision this week, like immediately after the Super Bowl, because I didn't think the Jets wanted to have this get in the way of the Super Bowl. Now, they didn't leak this, I don't think. I don't know how Jay got his information. Maybe they did tell Jay. I'm not sure. Maybe it was Aaron's camp. It doesn't matter at this point. But it was done swiftly, and it was done with purpose. So I just think now there's really nothing nebulous about who the Jets are going to be next year. They are starting over. They are starting with their vision, and they are starting with a clarity. There's no clouds hanging over. Can Rodgers stay healthy? Nah. You know, is this good for Glenn to start with Rodgers here? The reason why I thought it would be advantageous for Aaron Glenn to start with Rodgers, provided Rodgers was willing, again, I don't know the answer to this, I've got to reassert that, but if Rodgers was willing to play ball with Glenn and Muji, I think it would have been good for that, for those guys to get off on the right foot and win some games. And I think they would have, because I think one of the main reasons the Jets lost games this year is because of a stark disregard for discipline, and that manifests itself in the form of penalties, and the absolute worst coaching I've ever seen in my fucking life. I mean, in my life watching football ever. I mean, it was just, there's like substandard, and then there's four levels below it where we're like, wow, holy shit, this is bad coaching. It's bad, man. And it was really, really bad. So with a different energy, a more assertive energy, a tougher training camp, a commitment to stop the run, a commitment to run the ball, a commitment to shave the penalties in half and go from like 29th to 30th to 15th or so, maybe better, maybe actually force a few turnovers. What a concept that would be. And I don't mean at the end of the season. I mean, when the season actually matters, there are avenues for the Jets to be competitive next season without Aaron Rodgers. I just need to know how they got here and why they got here. Let me pull my man Evan in for a sec. Ev, what's going on, buddy? How are you today? What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going?
All right, dude. You heard me lay it out. I mean, yep. ABC, I just laid it out. There's nothing else to lay out. There's other things to maybe interpret, and certainly opinions that would vary on did they do the right thing? What quarterbacks could they bring in? But you just heard it all. You know what's going on. What do you think? Are you surprised Rodgers is gone? And do you think that they went into that meeting with an open mind to keep him if he said the right thing? Because that's the story for me.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely was surprised when I first saw it. It was always, I always felt like it was a bit of a toss up. Cause like I saw you and Sal had Thomas Dimitroff on and you're asking him what he thought. So I knew it was definitely part of the process. So yep. I was kind of interested to see like how they would weigh that. And if like, it wasn't the reason he didn't get it was because no, but that turns out that maybe it was, you know, it was much more of like a candidate thing instead of like a opinion on a certain topic. The way I kind of looked at it was, especially right after Aaron Glenn's presser, when he was talking to the media in the media scrum and they kept asking about Rodgers, and he's like, this is going to be all about the roster. This isn't going to be about Rodgers.
Yep.
So it made me think that like as much as Rodgers is a big part of the organization and has been the past couple of years, maybe he felt like, you know, I need my roster. Like a lot of people have said, and it's been a little different than what the players have said, but a lot of people have said how in the past couple of years, it's been like we have one standard for 52 players and maybe a different one for one. So yeah. Maybe he felt like if I want to put my culture in here, mm-hmm. I don't want to run into the problem of having one standard for Aaron Rodgers where he's going on everywhere and he's giving his opinion, and then a different standard for other guys where it feels like, you know, kind of keep your mouth shut a little bit. So
I think that's a good read. I think that's a nice addition to the conversation. I would agree with that. You know, the other thing too, and let me just contrast this before I wrap it up with the Giants and their regime, right? So if you like, it's odd how it works. I think part of the reason why Dable and Shane are still employed, if not a lot of the reason, is year one. Okay. Yep. They won 9 games. They maximized Daniel Jones. They played crisp, smart, aggressive football. They protected the ball. They win a road playoff game. And then, but they overachieved. They absolutely overachieved. And then year two, and then year three. Oh, God, this is the worst season in Giants history. They couldn't score. They were unwatchable. And think about maybe the Jets are, not that they're actually looking at the Giants per se, but that kind of a model. Like, all right, what's better for us long term? To bring back Aaron and maybe go 10-7 or 9-8. And all right, here we go. You know, 4 or 5 more wins than last year. All right, well, look at Glenn. Okay, here you go. And then the next year, Rodgers is gone and he's starting over, which eventually you're going to have to start over. He's old, right? So then they would have started over in year two. And let's say they go with a young kid, because Tyrod would be, wouldn't be under contract at that point. And they take their lumps like a lot of teams do when you go to a young kid and they're, 4-13. And then I think people would be able to process that because, okay, fairly rationally, but now you're in year three. And if there's not an immediate uptick in September and October, now the writing's on the wall. It's like, well, I mean, look, what are we doing? I mean, he can't win with anybody but Rodgers. They won 10 games with Aaron. They made a wild card game. They won, they lost, whatever. And then Aaron retires, or they cut Rodgers for money purposes where he gets hurt. And then year two, all right, understandably a step back. But now here we are in year three. Here come the calls to me and Sal. Here come the tweets. Here come the hot takes. Here comes the venom. And that's that equity that Aaron Glenn would have had in year one evaporates fast. And maybe he's saying, hey, fuck it. I'm going to do it the other way. We're going to take our lumps early. Unless you're an idiot, you know that we have a long way to go. So let's build the infrastructure properly and let's gain equity conventionally by taking incremental steps from year one forward rather than the opposite.
Yeah, no, that's definitely the way to go about it. And also, it seems like, and granted, quarterback is the most important position in the NFL. But I know sometimes a lot of these people look at other teams and they're like, if you look at the Eagles, Hurts is really good, but they also built an insane roster around him. So yes, he just has to be a cog. Oh, whereas, man, if you just stick to like just putting any quarterback that you think is good back there and just hoping that he carries your team to the postseason, it's like, that's great. But we want to build a complete team around him. So the quarterback just has to do his job, but doesn't have to be like the savior as well. So,
yeah. And extends it with the Eagles too. Think about this. So Bryce Huff got $36 million guaranteed. He was not even in the game yesterday. He was deactivated, crazy, not active.
Yeah.
And that just shows you, like, whereas with the Jets, all right, they draft Mekhi Becton. And once his body betrays him, of course, Becton wins the Super. You just can't make that part up. Whatever. But you can't make it up. Yeah. But like, once his body went south, now the entire offensive line's in fucking shambles. Why? Because the Jets, their talent base was so low that they were so reliant on like Becton to fix the shit old line or Rodgers to elevate from the court. Whereas the Eagles, Bryce Huff, whatever, man. You ain't playing. You did shit this year. All right, we may have wasted some money on you. Big deal. We don't need you. We're gonna win.
Yeah, yeah. And at the end of the day, when you build a team so good that it's like the second string guys as good as, or if not better than the first string guy, it just becomes like it just becomes very easy to win that way. And I think that's why they're getting all the credit in Philly and stuff like that. So,
all right. Well, listen, this is good. This was a good informative session. I feel good about it. I'm going to jump in probably on Thursday night, do another one. I want to really, I'd really like to hear from Aaron. And I would imagine from now until then, even if he doesn't speak directly, we're going to get some intel on what transpired in that meeting. That is very important to me. But now we'll start piecing together realistic quarterback. Of course, I gave you a few with Fields, but we'll really start narrowing things down and start cutting down, what they could do, where they might go in the draft. That now the fun part starts. Like, now we just had to get answers, and Aaron Glenn was very impressive at the press conference. Outside of Vrabel, I've said it a million times, that's who I wanted. I think they had a good hire. I think they had a good process for not only the head coach, but also the GM position. I think the Jets have done a lot right, and I think this is another example of how swiftly they came to this decision that we know who's leading the franchise, and that is now the coach and the GM, and it has not been that way for far too long, and that alone is refreshing. So, hey, get this out there to your friends, obviously, Unkillable, at least one, sometimes twice a week, Spotify, Apple, all that stuff. Share it to your buddies across the country, across the world. Whatever happens with the Jets, this is the go-to pod. It is my mission to make this number one, not a good pod among many pods, but the best pod among many Jet pods. And we do that with you. We do that with you subscribing. We do that with you sharing. We do that with you commenting and just getting some juice behind this. The numbers go up. There's more we could do for the show. Trust me. So very happy. 25 episodes in. I'm not going to take a gummy like my guy Hoff and Evan did. Although, shit, if they win a Super Bowl, I'll do anything. So I probably would do. Actually, if they win out, yeah, I will actually. You have to twist my arm that much to take a gummy. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, if it means we're going to win some games, I'll take two. I won't take a half like Evan. I'll take the whole thing. All right, guys, have an awesome day. Enjoy yourself. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10, me and Sal on the Fan, Twitter, obviously, Instagram, all that stuff, Apple Spotify, and, of course, WFAN YouTube page. Get it out there. Share it. I'll catch you in a couple days. We'll really start to hone in on what they need to and what they're likely going to do at quarterback. I'll see you guys soon.